continuation of Parashat Bamidbar. It's a continuation because we're talking about the counting of the Jewish people. And technically, what's even more interesting is that Parashat Naso begins in the middle of a perek. Perek Dalet is talking about the counting of the Levim. It started, if you take a look, at the end of Parashat Bamidbar. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe v'Yalar Lemu Naso et Rosh b'nei Kohat. In the middle of the perek, after Kohat, we start a new parsha. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemu Naso et Rosh b'nei Gershon. Why start a new parsha here? It's interesting. If you take a careful look, it says like this: Naso et Rosh b'nei Gershon gam hem, them also. Rashi explains Kemoshe tzibitichal b'nei Kohat. The road kama yesh egiu lechalal avoda. Or in other words, Kohat was the family that had the most important, holiest job in the Mishkan. They carried the kelim of the Mishkan. So the fact that you count them and make a big deal out of them, we understand. The chiddush is even b'nei Gershon, gamhim. Naso et rosh b'nei Gershon gamhim. And literally what this means is that even b'nei Gershon count. Even they need to have this naso, which is, of course, the name of the parsha, not just because of the beginning of the parsha, but throughout the parsha. And I'll explain what I mean. There are two other places in the parsha where the idea of naso is emphasized. The beginning of the parsha we just saw. Let's look now at the end of the parsha. The last parak in the parsha is parak zayin. And we speak here about the heads of each tribe. Now I want to emphasize that the heads of each tribe were mentioned already in parak aleph. Remember when it talked about the people who would count together with Moshe, the people who would help. Let's take a look. Those who have back in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, Ve'ele Shmot Anashim Asher Yemdu Etchem. These are the names of the people who will stand with you, Leruven, Leshimon, etc. The word Nesiim isn't used in Perek Aleph. It's only used in Parshat Naso. If you look here in Perek Zayin, when it gets to the Korbanos that they bring, it says, Vayibi Yom Kalot Moshe Lakim Et HaMishkan, he finished building, Vayakrivu Nesiyei Yisrael Rashei Beit Avotam. So the parasha begins with the Naso of Bnei Levi. It ends with the Nesiyim of each Shevet, Naso and Nesiyim. And it also appears in the middle of the parasha. And the middle of the parasha is maybe the biggest chiddush. Because to say that the Nesiyim are Naso is Rosh, to say that Bnei Levi is Naso is Rosh, but if you look in Perek Vav, where we're talking about Birchas Kohanim, and you look at the words that the bracha includes, there's three psukim, right? First one is that God should bless us, Yivarecha Hashem Yishmer. The second is that God should show us favor, Yoyer Hashem, Panav Eilecha V'chunecha. And the third bracha, the climax is, Yisa Hashem, Panav Eilecha V'yasem L'chashon. So first of all, I hope people see that we should take the name of a parsha seriously. Okay, not so. Yeah, the parsha is not so. The beginning, the end, the middle. And number two, and again, words that don't appear other places. We mentioned these people, we don't call them see them there. So it's true the word saw appeared already in Bamidbar, but it's being emphasized and developed beyond the count in Nasa. And the development is all the families of the Levium, the Nesiyim of the tribes, and every individual who we hope that Hashem will raise his face to. Yisa Hashem Panavelech. Of course, the question, what does that mean, Yisa Hashem Panavelech? If you think about it literally, by the way, it doesn't say we'll raise our face to God. It says, God will raise his face to you. Which makes it sound like, the way some guys in yeshiva see Rebbeim, you're here to serve me. That's what I'm saying, meaning, you know, maybe the Rebbe will, you know, rise up to my level a little bit. If we can work it out, maybe the Rebbe will be Yisa's Panav Eli, you know, on my pedestal. Okay. The question, obviously, is what is this parsha coming to teach us and what are we supposed to take away from this concept of Naso? So I spoke this morning about what I believe the answer to this question is. And Zach, some others came up to Zach, I think was the first. He said, I speak a little bit more length, and I'm happy to, and that's what we're doing here. Also because the air conditioning is nice. But we don't have cool cookies like downstairs, so you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's, maybe the cookies you saw to the second floor. Okay. On the one hand, the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar is about organizing the machane. The second part is about the korbanos that the Nesiyim bring. In between, we have shtupped in a couple of mini parshios. Sota, Nazir, Birchas Kohanim. And Chazal, of course, famously discussed the juxtaposition between these things. And maybe the more famous thing Chazal said is that Nazir is after Sota, because Haroa Sota Bikilkula Yazir Asma Minayayim. Someone who sees the low level that a Sota gets to will be careful with wine. I think there are two parts of this statement that are important. The first is something people may not realize. Haroa, someone who sees it. Why does it say someone who sees it? Should say a person is familiar with the concept of Sota, you have to see the Sota. What does Haroa Sota Bekilkula mean? So on a simple level we can say that when you see something, it's more powerful. But the Baal Shem Tov, and after him, you know, all the Magadim is rich, and the Chassidim as a whole, understood this to literally. If you're seeing it, then you need to do something about what you saw. Or in other words, it appears in many Chassidish Svarim, if a person finds himself in the circumstance where he's seeing it, then it's a sign that he needs to do something about it. He needs to fix it within himself. It's a sign min hashamayim that he has it within himself and needs to fix it. And, you know, one could say this, you know, miraculously min hashamayim, and then obviously we believe in miracles. But I think there's a deeper level to this too. And that's presented also in the same Chassidish Svarim, very famous Rav Nachman Breslov's story about this. If a person sees something, comes across something, it's a sign, not just min hashamayim, but it's something about themselves that they can resonate with it. We have to ask ourselves, is this something Rav Nevin Sal would see? And if he saw it, would he understand it? Would he be masig it? The fact that we have a musug of it means that there's something wrong with us, or this thing resonates with us. And this is one of the biggest challenges of growing up as part of a broader culture. We may know that we don't do that, but it speaks to us. When I was a kid, every desperate yeshiva high school student wanted to marry Pamela Anderson. She'd become a ger, you know what I'm saying, whatever. Now again, meaning, you know, we have to become a ger, a geiris first, but she'll become a geiris, right? Maybe. I don't think Rav Nevin Sal or Rav Adari ever dreamed of marrying Pamela Anderson, or whoever the equivalent was in the 1940s, 50s, you know, Doris Day, or, you know, fill in the blank. If you grow up in a certain culture where it makes sense to you, where it's shaykh to you, where it's relevant to you, and you see it, it resonates with you. And there's something deeper that needs to be fixed. The Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Ayin says it this way: Kol HaPosa B'Mumo Posa. The way we curse somebody else has to be something we understand, or you couldn't say it. And you tell a story about the Chofetz Chaim. You know, he lived his whole life in Radin, which is in all the backwater town, Honesdale, whatever. What did he see in Radin? And then World War I, the yeshiva had to move out of Radin. I think they went to St. Petersburg. And there he saw for the first time Chilul Shabbos. And he cried, terribly cried over, you know, Chilul Shabbos. The next Shabbos, you know what to expect, right? And the Chofetz Chaim again was crying, the same level, the same intensity. So the Talmidim said, look, it's terrible, but the first time you saw it, we understand. You've never seen Chilul Shabbos. But now you know what it is, right? You knew to expect. Because you're right, it hurts less this week. That's why I'm crying. When you see something and it fits, it speaks to you, you have to cry. And you know, the first point I want to make is that you are growing up into a world where the challenges you're going to face are way beyond what we know today, but they're already tremendous. My generation faced the challenges in a certain way because we didn't grow up with it. And you don't grow up with something, all of a sudden you have access to it. You take it for granted. You take it for granted. When I was a kid, if you wanted to get in trouble, you had to look for it. To get into a rated R movie, you needed a gadol. You know what I'm saying? Gadol Ayim Al-Gabav. You know what I'm saying? You could. Today, trouble runs after you. Rabbi Willig likes to say that when he was a kid, a pop-up was a kind of tart that came out of the oven. Things that you wouldn't have a musig of. And before you even get to the internet, my wife and I heard last night about someone, terrible, terrible thing. Someone who it seems had an affair or whatever, and the family's breaking up. And unfortunately, it's more common today. Why is it more common? Before you get the internet. Women once upon a time lived at home. And I'm not saying they should live at home. You're going to cut it, snip it. It's a historical statement. It's true. Even people who, you know, it's true. Person went out to the workplace. They saw men. The Gemara has halachas about, you know, etc. Men were separated mainly. Today, it's not just that you walk around and you see women everywhere. It's that women once upon a time dressed in a way that was modest. What I mean by that is not to draw attention to myself. Today, for sure, non-religious people, not all but many, and unfortunately many religious people, are dressing in a way that's meant to draw attention to themselves. Even if you cover all your body parts, you could try to be drawing attention to yourself. And perfume and mylis and etc. And basically saying, please look at me and be attracted to me. But don't take it any steps further. That's a very dangerous situation. Basically, it's, please look at me. Why are you looking at me? Now, I'm not blaming the women. I'm just talking about the metzias. Again, we live in a world where people want to be respected and feel that people think they're good looking or whatever it is, right? I'm not blaming. I'm talking about the metzias. Judgment isn't going to help anybody. If any of you plan to become a woman, you want to speak about how you should dress, let me know. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about bigger issues. Assuming that's not the situation, we're not talking about what women should or shouldn't be doing. That's not our job to judge other people. What I'm talking about is the mitzvahs we face. And you throw that into the internet. What's presented as normal, what reaches out to you, what's presented is what you do, is what people do. Things that our grandparents are like, crazy? You never do such a thing. And what's accessible? And what's presented to people as what they should be striving for. It's a different world. And it's going to get bigger and more. So my wife asked me another shyly. She said, I don't understand. Guy's married, has children. Why would you do that? My wife is a tzaddik. I don't think she has the Yetzer Hara. You know what I'm saying? Why would someone do that? It's stupid. You lose your whole thing. She wasn't saying, I'll isurim. She says, you lose your whole family? That doesn't make any sense. So I had to explain to her is not everybody does what makes sense. Right? You ever hear of such a thing? People get caught in a moment. And in that moment, they want something. And whatever lies they tell themselves about how things will work out or won't work out, or they don't think about it, or they tell themselves whatever they tell themselves, people throw away everything for stupidity. You really want to live your life on that risk? That you're going to be smart enough at that moment, hundreds of moments, thousands of moments through your life, to make the right decision? And one time you make the wrong decision, and you carry it with you, and chas v'shalom, what did it imply? Haroa sota bekilkula. Today, is it yayin? We need to be mazer ourselves from it. Do we care enough to protect ourselves? A sad part of the modern world has become like an inyan, a dovish b'kedusha. It's a dovish b'kedusha. We have to be integrated fully in the world. You got to use internet with a filter. You're Haredi. As if, you know, that's for sure. Someone asked me a question in answer session. Haredi world, they're separated from the world. They're not part of the world. They are part of the world. What are we doing? How are we fixing it? I said, let's just say one thing. It doesn't say in the Aseres HaDibros you have to be connected to everything in the world. We believe it's ideal, but let's protect myself. Am I going to risk my family, which is the most important thing, my loyalty, my ethic, my moral code? So if you've seen it, if you're Kaddish Vittoria, my wife, you never saw anything wrong on the internet, never did anything wrong, never, okay, fine. Everybody else, Haroa Sada Bekel Kulo. Are we taking it seriously, or we're above it, right?
I have to filter. I'm a big tzaddik.
That would never. And if you're involved in these things today, it's going to disappear when you get married. So you're not going to be attracted to other people. Suddenly you're not going to have these examples. And I want you to realize, 20 years ago, people didn't know what was going to be today. And 20 years from now, we can only imagine. What are we doing today to make sure to protect ourselves in a way that we can be confident about our future? And you know what? If I was a girl, and I'm not a girl and don't plan to be one, but if I was one and I was going out with a boy, I would want to make sure that I'm going out with someone who I could rely upon, as someone who's got their ducks in a row. So that's point number one. But point number two that I really want to speak about, and the first point is, you know, ilu lo banu elo lishma davar zeh. If we didn't make the sicha, if only for this point. But I want to talk about point number two, which I think is critical, because without point number two, there's no way you can make point number one work. Because Chazal say that Nazir is after Sota, because Haroah Sota b'kakul yazirat v'menei ayin, it's even more surprising. The other thing Chazal said about Nazir is a day in Chazal, very well known, that Nazir is a chet. Ashi quotes it, Lazar Kpar, Gemara and Tainus Daf Yud Aleph. We're not supposed to separate ourselves from things in the world. So again, just to clarify, we don't believe that a person should be focused on Gashmias. That's the Ramban, Kedoshim Tiyu. But we're not against enjoying what's here in the world. Like I often say about Kedoshim Tiyu, a person's goal shouldn't be Gashmias. But if a person's living a goal-oriented life and they're enjoying things, and there's things in the world that make life enjoyable, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the ride. As long as the ride is about something else. The Rambam writes, Hilchos Deos Perek Gimel. He talks about a person who separates himself from what the world has to offer. Gam ze derech rohi v'osr leilich ba. Hamahalich b'derech zo nikra chote. Shaharei omer b'nozi v'chiper alav mashachata ala nefesh. Efren kor mechates. But my question is a simple one. If the reaction one should have to seeing a sota b'kulkul is yazer atzim min ayayin, how can you call it a chet? I'm trying to protect myself. It's a pella. I think the answer is very simple, very basic, very important, and it to me is the core of this sicha. And I'll say it this way. There's two ways we can say it. One is to learn about Hagar, and the other is to remember high school. In high school, most guys don't have enough under the hood, in fact, you know, to really be religiously motivated. I'm not talking about you, most guys, right? A lot of people get frum in high school. Someone told them to. That's option number one. Or number two, they're running away from something. Don't be scuzzy. Don't be that guy. I don't want to do drugs. I don't want to be a bum. That's why you can have the amazing thing. You might have heard of a guy in Masmid Mashir. Right? He's frim, but he's not Shem Negiyah. What's Pshat? Pshat, he's not really religious. He just doesn't want to be scuzzy. Shem Negiyah isn't considered scuzzy. Sather. If a person's religion, if a person's mission is avoiding problems, they're not going anywhere. Nowhere of value. A, and B, inevitably you revert back because you're not going to find anywhere else to stand. And we see this by the very famous discussion between Hagar and the Malach. You look at Hagar for a second. Hagar's a tragic figure. People like using that term. Rav Horn, the black person. A tragic figure. But Hagar really is a tragic figure. I'll explain what I mean. She was a princess in Mitzrayim. Chosh v'zach. Megan. She's a duchess, whatever I'm saying. Chosh v'zach. She's a princess in Mitzrayim. And she decided better to be a shivcha for Avram's family than to be a princess in Mitzrayim. Beautiful. And not only that, she got promoted from shivcha to wife. She's got it all going. And where'd she end up? She ends up thrown out of Avram's house, back in Egypt. Her son's going to be a pera adam. And the lashon Chazal used for is chazer legilulei aviyah. She went back to the disgusting things of her father she began with. Well, how'd that happen? And the critical moment for Hagar is she's run, you know, she's run away from Sarah, which is understandable. And the Malach finds her and says, "Vayomer Hagar." The Malach finds her and says, "Eimi zebas v'yana telechi. Where have you come from and where are you going? Eimi zebas v'yana telechi." Vatomer, and she responded and said, "Mipnei Sarai gevirti anochi borachat. I'm running away from Sarah, my master." Which part of the question did she not answer? Where am I going? Now, if you don't know where you're going, you only have one direction you can go in, which is back. And the Malach said to her, "Shuvi al gevirtech." A critical part of getting anywhere is, even if you're inspired by what you're running from, you have to turn it into what you're running to. And that's Lashon of Pirkei Avos, Da Me'ayin Bata. It's really the Lashon of the Malach, I think it comes from. La'an ata olech, v'lifnei mi'ata din asid li'tein din v'cheshbon. As long as we're talking about that Mishnah, let's just talk about it a little bit more. The Mishnah wants you to see yourself in perspective. Me'ayin Bata, mi'ti pasuchi. You come from nothing, so don't take yourself too seriously. You say, okay, I began with nothing, but now I'm Donald Trump. The next thing says, la'an ata olech. Where are you going? Makom rima oifu v'toleh. You're going nowhere. So you might say, if I come from nowhere and I'm going nowhere, I don't matter. There's a reckoning, which means what you do does matter. But before you get to the full Mishnah, just another push-up shot. It could be that what inspired the Nazir to take his life more seriously is to see the dangers of the world around him, and that it resonated with him. But if the response to that is just to get a filter, but not to get a direction. For any of you who've ever used a filter or a password or a friend or a this or a that, if you didn't find some way to define yourself otherwise, in the end you'll find yourself disenabling the filter. It doesn't take too long. If you don't find something else, in the end you have no choice but to revert back to Gilulei Avia. And we're living in a world where it's too quick and too easy. They talk about marijuana as a, what's it called, a transition drug? There's a word for it. Gateway drug. Everyone knows the gateway on the internet, right? Start with a little of this, a little of this. It's not a mashgiach, it's mamish. Everyone knows it. If you're not going somewhere else, the Gra says, right, you're not taking a step forward, you're taking a step back. It's never been more true. And no matter how strong you think you are, if you're not heading somewhere with a clear idea, even with it, it's hard. But without it, yeah, no shot. And I believe that that's the answer to Nazir. If you look at the beginning of the parasha of Nazir, Perek Vav, Pasuk Beis, Daber Hashem al Moshe Lemer, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yamart alehem, Ish o Isha, ki yafli lindor neder, Nazir, lahazir l'Hashem. Rashi's bothered him. What do you mean, Lashem? What does Nazir have to do with Hashem? You're making a nether to avoid wine, etc. You're running away from Sota. Rashi says, Lahazir Lashem, Lahavdil Atzmo Minayayin, Lashem Shamayim. What does that mean, Lashem Shamayim? I'm a Nazir because I'm Freim? What does it mean? Nobody was for mean, I'm firmer than you. Not long at tzitzis, I got a less colorful shirt. I'm firmer than you. L'shem Shemaim doesn't just mean hineni muchen mezumen. It means what a person's direction is. The Sforno says in the pasuk, "L'hafresh atzmo mikol eila leman yiyeh kulo l'shem," so he can be focused on his relationship with God. Le'itasek b'torasa v'lelechet b'drocha v'ledav kabo. Those who have a chumash. Let's open up for a second to Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Kedoshim, where the Torah talks about how our relationship to God hinges on separating ourselves from Shtuyot. Perek Chof, Pasuk Chof Dal, the end of Parshas Kedoshim, it says, Pasuk Chof Dalet, V'yomer lechem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher hivdalti etchem min ha'amim. I'm the God who separated you from the other people. Therefore, v'hivdaltim bein abeimah tmei ala Torah. Separate in your life between what's good and bad. Then, v'yitem li kedoshim. Pasuk chavav, ki kodesh ani Hashem. Ta'avdil atchem min ha'amim liyot li.
Hashem gives us the potential to be holy, to be separated from the rest of the people. But that's an outgrowth of us making the decision to be different than they are by separating between what's right and wrong and separating ourselves from it. Our goal is not to avoid the bad. Our goal is to strive for holiness and the good. But we can't get there without avoiding the bad which pulls us down. But if we're just avoiding the bad without striving for something higher, at best we're fighting a war of attrition. And anyone who's ever tried to fight that war of attrition without having something higher knows how impossible it is, how frustrating it is, and the extent to which you'll feel, my fall is inevitable, so it doesn't pay to fight. If you don't have something higher you're reaching towards, the fall is inevitable. The Ramban says something powerful, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Perek Vav. He says the Korban Chatas isn't because you became a Nazir. It's because you stopped being a Nazir. It's because you came back down. Such a powerful thing. The Rambam himself in Hilchos Nedarim, and I don't think it's a steer with Hilchos Deis. We saw Hilchos Deis, the Rambam wrote, you shouldn't cut yourself off from things in the world. The Rambam writes, Hilchos Nedarim, Perek Yud Gimel, Achav Gimel, Misha Nadar Nedarim, Kedei Lechonein Deosav, in order to focus his midos, Uletakein Maasav, and to fix the way he acts, Harez Ezarazim Meshubach. V'chein misha hayim mizgoa biyofyo, someone full of himself. V'nadar v'nazir v'chayotzei b'dvarim elu kulan. Derech avodo l'ashem heim. U'v'nadarim elu v'chayotzei b'emarmu chacham nadarim siyag l'prishas. That's based on the Gemara. Get into the details of nadarim leftes. If the separation from what the world has to offer is where the mission ends, it's a mission of chayt. But if the separation from the world around us is to facilitate a mission of striving for something higher, and that's beautiful. L'shem Hashem. It could be what inspires someone to seek a higher level of life is seeing Sota Bikul Kula, is seeing the way other people's families fall apart, seeing your friends and where they end up, seeing yourself and where you've been. Could be. But that has to inspire something else. And if you don't understand that you need to connect to something else and be a higher, like the Sforno said, not just learning, but the higher mission that's meant to generate, good luck. And I think this is what Parshas Naso es Rosh is about. It's about a person putting their mindset somewhere higher. And, you know, it was a week ago that I spoke about, you know, Torah is meromim. I'm sorry for the redundancy, but it's a little different. Torah is meromim, the inside of your head. The goal is that that influences the entirety of your personality. And part of why I decided to give the sicha today was thinking about Rav Adari. Rav Adari's daughter, on the way up to give her sicha, etc., she passed by me and she told me how much the family appreciated a number of things I said. One of them was about his cufflinks. I talked about his cufflinks, or his golden cufflinks. So she told me that they're trying to figure out which of the grandchildren will take the shirts. No one wants a shirt with cufflinks, you know. She said, and they weren't gold. That's a Hadari for you. Okay. And I said to her, you know, the longer he's gone, the more I miss him. Ravadari wasn't just a person who treaded on a different plane. And you know from Nevin, I don't know if you guys heard, Nevinsal told Rav Tuvia that since Ravadari died, he can't give any more sichot. He's blocked up. Rav Shiva said he worked it out, talked to him, etc. Exactly what that would like to know. You fly on the wall for that one. You know? Unblocked surgery, you know. Okay, but these are all holy people. And that's part of the issue. You don't realize. The people you're dealing with, they're very holy people. Like, it's filling all day. What does that mean? I have an uncle from Seattle. When his son was here, and one of the American yeshivas, won't get into the details, he came to visit me for lunch. He's like, oh, come for mincha first, come for mincha. So he goes, I thought Hakotel was a serious place. I heard so much about it. I said, yeah, Baruch Hashem. He goes, there are people wearing tefillin at mincha. I started laughing. I said, no, they wear at chakras too. They just, It's a thing. I had to explain it. You know what I'm saying? You know, holy people, Ashreichem, you know. Now again, I don't think you have to be Rav Adari to be from. And you look at the alumni who are here, there are people out there in all kinds of worlds. But it's taking yourself more seriously on a higher level, and it's harder for your generation. My generation has a problem because we didn't grow up with it. Your generation has a problem. You did grow up with it. And every one of you knows the alter egos you have of yourselves and the other people you are on the internet and v'chule, you know better than I know. And there's something exciting about that. I can live another life in which I'm not all these things, but realize that's part of you because you haven't transcended it. And the truth is, it cuts to the very core of what the word nazir means. So on the one hand, miyayin v'shecher yazir. Rashi says, what does yazir mean? Prisha, separating from things. We talked in morning shiur about the prisha. Prisha, separating from things. V'yikra perichav beiz, daber alarim ve'albana, v'yinazru mikatshe b'nei Yisrael. Taftora, sefer Yeshayahu, nazoru achor. Separation. And definitely naziris has that connotation. But what's interesting is that the word nazir appears in the parasha in another by nazir in another conscious. It says, when he's not allowed to be tamei, mitami himself. Why? Pasuk zayin le'avivu li'imo le'achiv le'achoto lo yitame lehem b'motam ki nezer elokav al rosho. Ki nezer elokav al rosho. Or later, the interesting thing in nazir is that when he finishes being a nazir, he shaves his head and puts it on the fire with the carbon. Shaves his hair. V'gilach ha'nazir pesach olamoid es rosh nizro v'lach ha'rosh nizro v'nasan aleish shertach zevach ha'shlamin. What's pshat? The Rosh Nizro is what symbolizes his Naziris. It's the crown of the Naziris. And the reason why I think is two things. Number one, your arm doesn't grow when you're a Nazir. It's the same old arm. But your hair does. Your hair represents the new purity of your life. Now you have hair on your arm. You have hair all over, right? But your hair on your head is what's on top of you, close to God. It symbolizes your Naziris. Rosh Nizro. And so it's Rosh Ben Yisro. Gam Heim, even B'nai Gershon, every Jew. And the implication of Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha is that a person can live in a way that they're not just trying to avoid Sota, but they're striving to achieve a Kedusha like Kahuna, Nazir's after Sota, but the lead-in to Birchas Kohanim, where Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha, yeah, that's right. Lashon of the Eben Ezra is Milas Nazir Minizras Nezer, crown. Ba'ed, the proof is Ki Nezer Elokim al Nizro al Rosho. Vida, Ki Kol B'nei Adam. Listen carefully. Vida, Ki Kol B'nei Adam. Avdei Tavo Ta'olam. They are slaves to the Tavos of this world. The Ibn Ezra said that before the internet, before magazines. Avdei Tavo Ta'olam. The good news is, if it was already there, so today it might be new means, but it's the same thing. V'amelech be'emet, you want to know who the real king is? Sheyesh lo nezer v'yateres malchus b'rosho. Who has a nezer and a crown on his head? Kol mishu hu chafshi min atavos. It's a person who's free from the dependency, from the addiction. And know this and know it well. And any of you who have a friend who got stuck on the internet knows this. It isn't even something that satisfies you for more than a short period of time. And that's the terrible but beautiful thing about that slavery. Because if it did satisfy you, you'd think there was some meaning in it. You can see through it if you reflect on it. But it's a sad, sterile direction that it goes when there's no context for it. V'ateres malchus b'rosho kol mishu chafshi min atavos. Where's your head? Talking about sustaining families, yeah, well, just talk about for yourself. Ein lecha ben choron al mishosek b'Torah. Where your head is. And you know what it means, hopefully. You've had periods in yeshiva where your head was in a different place. Is it possible to live that way when you're not in yeshiva?
Absolutely.
Is it simple? No. Does it require Nazirus, yes. Does it require focus? Again, putting yourself on a high level doesn't mean you're not going to see anything bad. Then you have to figure out how to protect yourself. But if you're not on a high level, you got nothing. What are you protecting yourself for? What are you doing yourself? You're nothing else. You're the same thing. You're just trying to avoid it. Mishnah writes in Avos, there are three ketarim. There are three ways to define your head. You know, people wear something on their head. You're a policeman, you're a pilot, you're shivish, you're a keeper, whatever. You define through your head. You don't define yourself what you wear on your knee. There's Keser Guna, Keser Malchus, and Keser Torah. Guna and Malchus are interesting things, but they're irrelevant for most people. Keser Torah is where a person becomes something through what they develop for themselves. Rambam writes, Perikim Hilchos Talmud Torah, Misha Niso Libo, person who's inspired from the heart. Lios Muchter Beketer Torah, to define themselves this way. Lo Yasiach Data L'Dvar Mechem, he's not going to be distracted onto other things, he's focused. Focused on the things that are valuable in life. Someone asked me recently, you guys have seen me, I'm here, right? I'm here in the morning, I'm here in the afternoon, I'm here in the late afternoon, right? I'm here. So I've traveled a couple weekends. They're very tiring. I'm tired, but I'm here. So I said, Rebbe, when are you doing all the other stuff? Because we see you all the time. I'll tell you what I said to him. The time you're surfing on the internet. The time you're hacking around in the car. And I'm happy that I have what to do. You know why? It doesn't leave me any time to not do things. Isn't that a great feeling you've had in your life when you got to do stuff? Could have been finals, right? You have finals if you took it seriously, if you cared. Mustami, you took finals seriously, no? A-levels. Mustami, Josh, you took finals seriously, right? Okay. It's a great period, right? I have no time. It's wonderful. Get yourself into things that matter. Put yourself on a level where your focus and pursuit is too important for these things. And it'll take a long time, but with protection, eventually you wean yourself off it. With protection. You gotta protect yourself. It's a shame that that scene is Haredi. Caring about protecting yourself is Haredi. If so, where do I sign up? If so, wear four hats. 13 gartlich. If he's going to protect you, are you stupid? No, I don't think that'll protect you, by the way. But if it does, if the only way to be frum is to live in Lakewood, you're going to live somewhere else, I don't think it's true. And unfortunately, Lakewood has issues too. But we're so caught up with our stereotypes that we don't care anymore. What's the most important thing? To be integrated or to be frum? To be open-minded or to be frum? Again, we're not talking anymore about Hashem. Forget God. Your family, yourself, your identity, your self-respect, what you're involved in. You really think you're going to go the next 50, 60, 70 years with what's going on in the world around you and make all the decisions because you're such a feinschmecker? It means a sweet talker. Don't speak Yiddish in Memphis? You got what the word meant without me translating. Instead of trying to say it. It's the Hamish dictionary. Rabbi Nesoet Rosh Bnei Yisrael comes to teach us that we have the potential, the ability, and therefore we should strive for it. It's not just about avoiding problems. The way you can sustain avoiding problems is by staking out for yourself higher ground. Not condescending. But genuine higher ground. Living it. That should be below you. You should have a pursuit that's higher. You should be busy with that pursuit. Because if you're not, the pop-up's going to come after you. You don't have to go after it. Protection is important. But it'll help you if you have something else you're about. Ish ki yazir nezer lazer l'Hashem l'Shem Shemayim. Parshas Nasai. It's big stuff. It's big, heady. It's heady stuff. Ki nezer alokav al rosho. There's a lot more to say, but let's try and internalize these things. Everyone should have a meaningful Shabbos, and let's continue week by week. Let's take advantage. Let's take advantage. Hey, take advantage of our time to learn. B. Take advantage of the time to stake ourselves out.